You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I'm your host, as always, Mark King. For this show, I was out last week, as you all know, on vacation with kids and the family in Disney. That's tonight. Our guest on today's show, as a result of this, did a guest host for us last week, Sean Coleman from Grizzly Bear Blues. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? Welcome back, dude. Hope you had fun in Disney World.
I did. And your last show went up yesterday. It was about the memorable moments in the 90s jerseys, which was an awesome conversation about the jerseys with Grant Hall. If you haven't already listened to that, go listen to it. Sean did an awesome job on the show last week. So I want to have you on as I talked about in the previous show a lot. The previous week before I left, we're going to start doing these preview episodes with different members that cover the Grizzlies throughout the following year. I wanted to start with you since you kind of guest hosted last week and want to kind of keep that going. We're going to just talk about all kinds of things. In the first segment, we'll talk about a little bit in the off season, some things that happened and throughout that kind of questions still linger. Andre Iguodala comes up. In the second segment of the show, we'll start to talk about players, what we expect from different players, what you expect from players that may or may not do well. And then we'll wrap up and we'll talk about exactly how many wins we think we're going to have, expectations the Grizzlies should have, all those type of things. A lot of these episodes will be similar to Sean's episode, but they'll be with different people. We just want to get everybody's insights throughout the next few weeks as we go into training camp, as we go into preseason. We'll get kind of a round table of what people think this Grizzlies team should look like. So I wanted to start with you, Sean. Obviously, writer over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Great job. So if you haven't already read Sean's stuff, go do that now. But I just want to jump in right away and just start real quick. Thoughts on the offseason. There was so much turnover this past year for the Grizzlies. Thoughts on the offseason. I think most people would consider it a win.
Yeah, I definitely think that it is a win. I mean, everybody wants to consider the winner of the offseason as the person that, the team that is going to improve by the most wins. But that's not necessarily the case. The reason why I think the Grizzlies had arguably a top five to top three offseason was because if you looked at where they were in January, end of January, to where they were at the end of July, I find it hard to believe there was a franchise that had more positivity added to their future outlook than the Grizzlies. I mean, going from being a team that was, basically was in an illusion of thinking that they were still in the playoff hunt to now having one of arguably the top 10, young cores in the league going forward. It was just an amazing job. Luck had something to do with it. But a lot of it had to do with intelligence and creativity and just an excellent job by Wexler and Kleiman and the other players the other members of the front office. So, yes, I think that it was an awesome win. And that's the thing about it is that it's not just – this wasn't an end game. This was a means to an end. The greatest thing to me about the Grizzlies offseason beyond getting the young players that they did was the moves that they made were set up in a way just where they could still build on them. And they can make more moves in the future. So just a great first step that opened up a lot more avenues than people thought possible, within this calendar year.
Well, that answer kind of leads me to what was my next question was, is there a singular, a singular move or a moment that you thought was kind of was the best that you kind of thought led the category in wins? Is there any move, anything that the front office did or seen them do, over that period of the offseason that you think personally was probably the best thing they could have done?
The Brandon Clark trade. The trade to go up to get Brandon Clark at 21, I think was wonderful. The reason why I say that is because whenever we made the Mike Conley trade, it was viewed as, okay, this is – we didn't absolutely, hit a home run with this deal. We didn't get absolutely – trounce like a lot of people do when they're trading a star player. We got assets, but the fact that we were able to turn it into a talent that many felt was a top 10 talent in this draft and especially a talent that has such a great ability to fit Coach Taylor Jenkins' concept. We saw in the Summer League just how much potential he had. I think that was the best move, because as great as getting draft picks are, you got to turn them into talent, and you got to do it by being able to have the knowledge of how to identify talent. So whenever you can turn a pick into a talent and do it so quickly, it's just like we acquired another lottery pick out of thin air, just like we did with John Morant. So I think that was the singular biggest move, because it just adds another unexpected but relevant talent to our future core, and we need as much of that as we can get.
Last thing on the offseason, and then we'll move into the future going here, but I think this kind of straddles it both. Andre Iguodala is still a big thing here in Memphis, still questions abound. There was a report that was very much from Andre Iguodala's camp about the Grizzlies kind of wanting him to report. He didn't want to report. Do you think Andre Iguodala, A, reports to camp, media days, does he play a game in Memphis, or does it matter?
It does matter, and the reason why it does matter is because it involves Andre Iguodala. This is a players' league. I think, I am fully in the camp of the Grizzlies. This isn't on the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are doing nothing wrong by trying to make the most of a move that they created. The Grizzlies have done everything astutely when it comes to this move, getting a first-round pick and everything else. I do feel that eventually a trade will be made before the season starts. And the reason why I say that is because, yes, it's great to be able to sit there and turn Andre Iguodala into another asset, but I feel like that it makes sense for, at this point, the Grizzlies, it's time to be greedy, but you need to do it in a way that you're not pushing the wrong buttons. I get that may not seem like that big of a deal, but I think that Wexler and Klayman, they have enough of a pulse on things to where all the good stuff that's been going on, reputation is an important thing in the NBA, especially in a small market. So I think that they're keeping tune with that. I think communication with Andre Iguodala's camp is important as well. We haven't heard a lot about that. But I think at the end of the day, I still feel that he won't – I think that he may report to camp, but I don't think that he'll be a Grizzly by the start of the season. I do feel like that they'll get a deal done somewhere. The Clippers for Harkless and Robinson I think makes some sense. But I think at this point the Grizzlies turn him into some assets if you can, but don't make this a Chandler Parsons-type episode from last year. Andre Iguodala may not cause that. You just don't want to take that chance.
You're right. There's no reason to drag it out. Coming up, we're going to talk more about the Grizzlies. We're going to talk more about the young players that they have. They're exciting young players. What we think they could, it could possibly, could not be coming up next. But don't forget, Mack Weldon is better than whatever you have wearing right now. For 20% off, you can do your first order. Visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code Locked On. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with senior writer for Grizzly Bear Blues, Sean Coleman, about all things Grizzlies. Talked a little bit about the offseason in the first segment. The second segment, I want to get to more of the young players, more of what we could potentially expect to see from those young guys that the Grizzlies have coming up this year. Let's start with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson. What do you expect? What are your expectations from those two guys going into this year for the Grizzlies?
Really just expect for them to develop their chemistry. And that's the whole thing about it. I want to say the main areas of chemistry, the main areas that I want to see them develop are widening or deepening their scoring arsenal. I'll get to that in a second. But their chemistry with each other, because it's going to be so important. Not only will it be important on offense, off the pick and roll, on the perimeter, with both of them being able to establish their perimeter games, but also on defense. Ja Morant, knowing where Jaren Jackson Jr. or Brandon Clark is, and being able to, while he's not that good of a defender himself, being able to potentially use his athleticism as a play creator, as someone who can get steals. So that communication and chemistry, I think, is very important. Knowing what each other's doing, Mark and Mike had that very well. Have your opinion of them as you will, but chemistry was there for Mark and Mike a lot of times, and it helped the team as a whole on both ends of the court. So the chemistry, I feel, is very, very important. On an individual scale, back to their scoring abilities, I want to see Jaren Jackson Jr.'s ability to be able to, when he gets to the rim, to convert, go up with some strength, get to the foul line more. And with Ja Morant, For me, it's the pull-up game. I talked with Parker Fleming about this over at Grizzly Bear Blues, and he brought this point up. It's the pull-up game. It's not, though, just the pull-up three-point game. It's the mid-range game. We know that he can get to the hoop. We know that he can pass. But off the pick and roll, if he could sit there and have a mid-range game, it's going to make that combination even more lethal. Being able to get his defender set, and instead of blowing by him, being able to pull up for a three, it just adds options. So through chemistry and through them, their scoring ability, that just creates so many more options for the Grizzlies to utilize on offense. And for a team right now that doesn't have that much talent, options is a good advantage to take advantage of against other teams.
Speaking of options, who do you think that the player off the bench will be for the Grizzlies? Sixth man of the year type of guy for the Grizzlies. Who is that for you this year?
I want to say Brandon Clark because of his talent level, but I think you're looking at Tyus Jones. The reason why I think you're looking at Tyus Jones is because I truly feel that Taylor Jenkins really wants to try to implement a pass-heavy offense to find the best looks that he can. One of the best ways to do that is having Ja Morant and Tyus Jones on the court at the same time. Now, I don't know how long that you're going to be able to have that on defense because of their size discrepancies, not going against bigger guards. But I do think that Tyus Jones could really find himself with a very good role. He could take on more of a scoring role in support of Ja Morant. And I also think that he's going to have a better job of leading a second unit, a very athletic second unit. So I think Tyus Jones, just because of the fact that he's going to have the ball in his hands and he in an offense that's going to be so – where facilitation is going to be so critical, I really think that he likely – if there's a sixth man of the year award for the Grizzlies, I feel Tyus Jones is the guy.
I think you're probably right on with that. I think he's going to do a lot for this team off the bench. And as mentioned in the previous shows, you know, there are going to be times when Ja Morant struggles or it's just simply not good. And he's going to be that person for the Grizzlies to keep them back on track.
And yeah, and the other thing that I'll say is this, is that I feel like the two areas where the Grizzlies could surprise and they could earn a few more victories than you might think. Number one is their defense with their ability to create turnovers and their athleticism. And number two is the second unit. That said, the Grizzlies' second unit, while you have a lot, when you get the second units in an NBA game, you have a lot more up and down going on, and it's typically less defense overall. The Grizzlies' second unit is going to be able to defend with Jay Crowder, Ja Morant, Kyle Anderson, if Crowder's starting whatever, and Brandon Clark. That's one thing that I think makes a big difference, is that I think that the Grizzlies' second unit is really going to turn some heads. And I think we could have one of the, you know, better bench surprises as a unit in the NBA.
It definitely has the opportunity. I think they're going to struggle with offense on the second unit. That's something that I think they're really going to have to find different ways to score. And that'll be on Taylor Jenkins to develop some type of offense that is molded and fit to the type of players that he has. I want to switch gears a little bit before we take another break. Talk about Jonas Valanciunas. Where do you think he fits in? And do you think he continues the streak that he was on at the end of the year going into the beginning of this year? Or do you think it falls a little flat?
I think it's going to fall a little flat. And the reason why is because the thing is the Grizzlies have lost so much shooting. Avery Bradley was playing above his head. C.J. Miles was performing well. Even Chandler Parsons was there as a shooter. And, of course, Mike Conley had the best offensive month of his career. So much of that all of that offense is gone. And so you have such a young core unit now. I think that you're going to see Valanciunas be one of the better double-double sources in the league. Me and Grant last week were talking about fantasy basketball, and I think that one thing is Jonas Valanciunas could be a top 15 center in terms of overall production in fantasy basketball this year because he's going to be featured now. He's going to get so many opportunities to be able to get rebounds and points. But I don't necessarily know if he's going to be as dominant as he was last year because of the fact that he's going to be playing a full season in a featured role. But I do feel like, you know, he could be a good bet for probably 15 to 20 and 10 each night. And I think also that he's probably going to have the highest offensive floor of anybody on the Grizzlies. So overall, I think that Jonas Valanciunas could establish himself as a top 15 center of the league statistically. And I think at the end of the day, if you were to vote for a best offensive player in Memphis, it'll easily be Jonas Valanciunas, though he may not reach the level that he did in March of last year.
That's an interesting take. I think we both agree that he's not going to be what he was last year. But I just haven't different reason. I just think that it would just simply be a numbers game. It just won't be enough. I don't think there'll be enough shots to go around with you know, obviously Jaren wasn't there last year. Ja wasn't there last year. Dylan's coming back. You know, a lot of, you know, Jay Crowder, a lot of people in the starting lineup that, you know, didn't take those shots that he did last year. I think it would just be come down to just simply numbers. And I think he'll get shots, but I don't think he'll get nearly the number that he did at the end of their last year, where there just wasn't a whole lot of people there to really take the load off of that. So it's an interesting conversation. Coming up, we will talk with Sean Coleman. We will finish in the last segment. We'll talk, get his thoughts on the depth chart, the starters, role players. We'll also try to get a win total from him coming up next. Welcome back to the show, talking with senior writer from Grizzly Bear Blues, Sean Coleman. I want to end with this, kind of tease it before the break. I want to talk about, get your starters, who you think is going to start, and kind of who you think those 8, 9, maybe 10, or 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, if you think, I don't think you'll play 10, maybe. I think there'll be times of the half, but maybe those, some of those key guys off the bench for the Grizzlies this year.
So my starters, I really think it's going to be Ja Morant. It should be Dylan Brooks. It should be Kyle Anderson. It should be Jaren Jackson. And it should be Jonas Valanciunas. And the reason why I think it should be those guys is because those guys are the ones that you've invested in. I think that those guys should be featured because either they're your best, they're the core of your future, or they're your best present talent. Now, probably the two most debatable guys in that is Kyle Anderson and Dylan Brooks. The reason why I go with them is because Dylan Brooks, to me, has probably the highest floor of a lot of the other options that are on the bench, and you need Kyle Anderson's intelligence both to make your defense respectable on the perimeter and as a second facilitation offense in the offense. You're not going to get a lot of shooting. Your offense is going to struggle, but I do think that between Ja Morant and Kyle Anderson, you're going to have enough of a passing to be able to at least have some type of competent offense. On the second unit, I think Tyus Jones will get some run. I don't necessarily – I'm not as high on Grayson Allen as others. So, you know, while some folks may think that he'll get some run, I think so. I think he's more of an end-of-the-bench guy. But the second unit for me, Tyus Jones, Josh Jackson, Jay Crowder, Brandon Clark, and Bruno Caboclo. I think that you may not necessarily have all those five guys out on the court at one time, but I think that you, right there between Caboclo and Jackson and Crowder and Clark, you've got four guys who can sit there and play three different positions potentially. And from those positions, they can really, really do a lot of good work. So I think that with the Grizzlies, yeah, you're going to have quote-unquote starters, but I feel like that Taylor Jenkins could be one of the coaches who substitutes more in the league because he wants to take advantage of potential matchups. He wants to feature more lineups than your usual team would to be able to create an advantage due to his low level of talent. So I think that off the bench, those five, those 6 through 10 guys, Tyus Jones, Crowder, Clark, Jackson, and Caboclo, probably are going to be your 6 through 10 guys. Another guy to round it out, I know that you still got D'Anthony Melton. I know that you've got, like I say, Grayson Allen. But another guy that I really do think could start to see his role improve if he makes an impact is Marco Gudurc. And I don't necessarily know if he's going to do that at the first of the year, but he's got the one skill that we need more than anything, and that's the ability to shoot on the perimeter. So if he comes in and he shows that he's got it understood, I think that he could see his role expand quickly, and he really could become one of our featured scoring options off the bench.
Yeah, I think with him, you know, I think I said this maybe last week or whenever I did a last show last, but I think with him, it's interesting, but I think if you don't see him on the court, it's probably for good reason because the coaches see him more than anybody else in practice. And so if they don't think he can handle it in practice, but, you know, they don't see him on the court, it's probably for good reason. But I think I don't think you'll see him out right away, but I think you'll eventually see him just because you have to at least see what you got. You invested 2 years in this guy. You know, it's not a 1 year deal. So it's not a longer deal, but it is a 2 year deal. You have vested interest. You have to figure out what you have, and all that goes for all the young players. That goes for Grayson Allen, Josh Jackson, Marco. There's a lot of guys on this team that we can say the same thing over and over. That you just got to see what you have, and you got to play them to see what you got. And so you could do that going on down the line. And so I think you'll see a lot of that mixed in as well this year. This spot minutes here and there that guys just need to play. Last thing, and I'll get you out of here. Let's talk about wins. I think on my our complete guide to the Grizzlies schedule, I had them at 19 or 20 wins. That probably maybe a little low, but I think the Vegas line is 27.5. What do you think? At least give me an over under on that win total. Or if you want to give me win total, give me a win total. We'll mark it down. We'll see what we get this year.
I'm going to go with 25 wins, and I'm going to go with it being something to where 25 wins is what I want, but what I want is for us to maybe exceed that. I think 30 is too rich, but if we could get two or three more wins than that, because of the fact that our young guys have stayed healthy and we're earning some victories against teams we shouldn't late in the year, I think that would be such a great, great opportunity to really see where this team is, and also going into the off season, a real good way to be able to end the season and something to build off of. So I'm going to go with 25 wins, and there's a hidden reason also why I want to do that for you and the rest of the Memphis fans out there. Next year, what I want to see happen is I want to see the Grizzlies get the sixth pick, however that works out. I want them to get that sixth pick. And I want for that moment to come when James Wiseman is on that clock or on the board, Grizzlies are on the clock, and I want to see what happens with Memphis fans when we don't take it. That's the scenario that I would love to see.
Wow, that's bold. You think James Wiseman is going to go to six?
I don't think he's going to go at six. I'm not saying that. I think
he's going to be there at six.
Yes. I think that next year I think James Wiseman is a very talented player. Do I think that he's in the running for number one overall as much as people in Memphis possibly think he is? I don't. I know I'm a Tennessee fan. Take that for what you will. But from a lot of the mock drafts that I've seen, I feel like that if the Grizzlies are there at 4, 5, or 6, they will have their chance to take him, and I don't think they do.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be a good fit in Memphis either. But it would be interesting to see. I think you're probably right on the money as far as what they'll do this year. Hopefully, I think their best case scenario is they keep the pick, and next year they have a chance to maybe sign a bigger free agent.
So here's my question to you, Mark. At the end of the day, who do you think wins more games by the end of January, the Tigers or the Grizzlies?
Oh, I think it'll be the Tigers. By the end of January, they'll go into the non-conference play, and I'm just trying to think of the number of games they'll have played by then. It'll be at least 20, and so I don't know. I think it'll come down. That would come down to a numbers game, but I think the Tigers got a great shot to be well above that average than the Grizzlies do.
That time frame, that February to March time frame, the Grizzlies, of course, the All-Star breaks in there. The Grizzlies go a full month where they only have three home games. The Tigers are going to be in the stretch run for the finals. For the tournament. If you want my most anticipated time of the schedule this year, I want to see that. I want to see how the rookies handle that, the coaching staff handles that, and see how they really deal with the grind of that type of schedule difficulty. That, to me, is the most interesting time of the year, and what I anticipate really learning the most from this team during is that time of the year. When they're going through that grind, they're not playing a lot of home games, they're not the focus of the city. I really want to see how the team, handles that situation, both the coaching staff and the players.
Yeah, they have a ton of games in December. Like, we went through the schedule. By the end of December, going into January, those rookies, I mean, John Morant has never played that many games. I mean, it's going to be it's a different ball game. You have to get used to it, and that's a very real thing in the NBA. You have to get used to the travel schedule, not just playing the games, but the travel schedule, literally playing a game and then going showering, going on a flight at 2 a.m., getting to the hotel at 3 a.m., waking up and doing shoot around the next day. Like, that whole process is a whole deal. So, yeah, you're right. It'll be – once they get to December, they have a lot of games in December. Once they get to January, a lot of away games. You're right. It's going to be tough for the Grizzlies. It'll be interesting to see. It's something I talked about in those shows. We had breaking down all the Grizzlies' schedules. It'll be interesting to see. Sean, I appreciate you joining me. Again, if you have not already read Sean's stuff, go over to grizzlybearblues.com. Make sure you check it out. We'll have a ton of great stuff. We will do it again many, many more times this season, Sean. Appreciate it, man.
All right, have a great one, Mark.